Yes, sir. Turn your, and I'll let you out at 8 o'clock because we are supposed to get a second wave of storm. I'm not going to get, I want you to know I made up 2 pages. We're not even going to get the front page today. But that's all right. I just can't, I'm so glad you came to church. They said, Dad, don't cancel. I said, what about that? He said, they'll come. Just let them come. And even though you had to make some detours, you still came. And so I know we're going to get some more storms tonight. So keep your flashlight close to you at nighttime. And bottle of water. Turn to Job chapter 7, 1 verse, verse 11. I did a Bible study this week on bitterness and pride. You'd be surprised what bitterness and pride can do. I'm not talking about lost people. I'm talking about bitterness of the Christian, pride of the Christian. And let me read to you one verse from Job chapter 7, verse 11. Look what Job says here. Therefore, I will not refrain my mouth. Do you ever know somebody that's bitter? They let you know it, don't they? Therefore, I will not refrain my mouth. I will speak in the anguish of my spirit. I will complain in the bitterness of my soul. I'm going to tell you right now, some of the most unhappiest people in the world are born-again Christians that walk in bitterness. And I'm going to try to help you avoid that. And let me pray. Heavenly Father, I really believe you had me prepare this week. Help us, Father. Oh, Lord, not just one, but all of us. Oh, God, I just pray that every one of us will take this in. It's for the whole group here tonight. Matter of fact, it'd be for the whole group that's in this building everywhere, over in the Becca building, downstairs in the basement. Lord, I pray that you help me in the little bit of time I have left to be a good instructor. Holy Spirit, teach people the things of God. Bless them. Thank you for our guest with us tonight. And Lord, bless Bobby and Jamie as they're away. And Lord, give them a good time in Florida and give them a safe journey home, I pray. In Christ's name, amen. I truly believe. Notice what it says there. I will speak in the anguish of my spirit. How many see that? And he says, I will not refrain. In other words, you get around a bitter person, they're going to let you know that they're bitter. How many have been around someone that's been bitter? Is it fun to be around them? No, it's not. That's why Rosie leaves half the time, because I'm always complaining. She says, I got to get out of here. I can take the kids. I can't take you. I will complain in the bitterness of my soul. I truly believe pride and bitterness. I truly believe pride can cause bitterness. When people get so prideful, they begin to look at others with bitterness. Did you hear me? When we get so prideful, then everybody else looks like they don't deserve. We get bitter against other people. How many are still with me? Stay right there in Job, because we're going to be in Job. But I'm going to read to you a couple scriptures. Galatians 5:26 says this. Stay in Job. Unless you just want to hold your finger there and you can go back to it. Galatians 5:26 says, let us not be desirous of vain glory, provoking one another, envying one another. A lot of times we just get so uppity that we cause bitterness among the group and in ourselves because we get too prideful. I really believe pridefulness and bitterness kind of almost go hand in hand sometimes. Galatians 6:3, for if a man thinks himself to be something when he's nothing, he deceiveth himself. Now look up here. I want everyone to look at me. When you get bitter, it's because you thought you were better than somebody. When you get bitter, it's because you thought you deserved something over somebody else. Hello? When you get bitter, it's because you get jealous of somebody else. By the way, it's all flesh. It's all the works of the flesh. In Job chapter 7, it says, I will not refrain my mouth. When people have bitterness in their heart, many times they will let those around them know that they're unhappy. And by the way, it's not fun being around a person who's got bitterness. It can make a hard time for people. I notice this. If a man or woman has bitterness in their heart, they will bring great hardships on their family. Like if I've got bitterness, it's going to be hard on my wife and my grandkids and my kids, because they all, you know, preach resentment. Like if you have bitterness in your home, you're going to cause havoc for your wife, or if it's the wife, it's for the husband, if the children. But bitterness, look up here, bitterness destroys a home. And I'm talking about Christian homes. Bitterness destroys all homes. But you got to see, the root of bitterness is the flesh. And I'm hoping to get to it tonight. This is basically the introduction. Bitterness, look at Job chapter 10, verse 1. My soul is weary of my life. I will leave my complaint upon myself. I will speak in the bitterness of my soul. Did you ever know someone's got bitter? Not only are they hard to be around, not only are they destroying the people around them, the bitterness is like a canker, preacher. It destroys the person themselves. Bitterness not only destroys all those people around them, but the very person that holds that bitterness, it destroys them. If you harbor bitterness against somebody, I'm going to tell you, you're destroying you more than anybody else. But I'm going to tell you, that bitterness, it actually will reflect on your children and your family and your friends and your church. Bitterness always has a complaint. Job chapter 1, chapter 21, verse 25. Job 21, 25. And another dieth in the bitterness of his soul, and never eateth with pleasure. People in bitterness never seem to know about any of God's joy. How many are still with me? I mean, Christians ought to be happy. We ought to be the happiest people on the face of earth. We're going to heaven. Our sins are forgiven. We're washed by the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. I'm not going to die. Oh, I might die physically someday, but the moment the Bible says to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. Hey, after I die, don't cry for me, baby. A few seconds, my soul and spirit's leaving my body. The angels are ushering me up to heaven. Hallelujah. I'll be on glory land. Hallelujah. I'll be walking streets of gold. Man, I'll be in Hallelujah Square. Man, don't cry for me. Cry for you. You're the one that has to be down here yet. Man, I've crossed over. Look at that scripture, though, again. Another dieth in the bitterness of his soul. When people have bitterness, they never seem to have joy. And never eateth with pleasure. Die people with bitterness, nothing can make them happy. Nothing can make them smile. Nothing can make them laugh. Because they're dying within. I want you to see that. Bitterness is a bad thing to have. If you've got bitterness, you ought to say, God, forgive me, and God, take that out of my heart. It's a destroyer of families. It's a destroyer of lives. Bitterness. And don't say, well, you won't get... Every Christian can have this if they don't watch the flesh. Look at Proverbs, next book. Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs 6, 16 through 19. I've got another one in Proverbs too. These six things, I'm in Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16. These six things doth the Lord hate. And the seven are an abomination, a proud look. I'll tell you right now, I think a proud look goes right with bitterness. But you'll see a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, heart that devises wicked imaginations, feet to be swift in mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, he that soweth discord among the brethren. You ever know something? What bitterness does and pride does? Causes strife among the brethren. You get someone prideful, you get someone with bitterness in the church, it causes up a stir in the church. Hello? God doesn't want our people like that. Not any of us. Not me either. And look at Proverbs 14:10. The heart knoweth his own bitterness. How many see that? If you got bitterness, you know it. I don't have to tell you got bitterness. You know it. If you'll be honest, if you got bitterness in your heart, you know you got bitterness in your heart. You got no one. And look what it says. And a stranger doth not intermingle with them. This is joy. A guy sees you and you know grump. You're all bitter about something. You say, when do I know one ever wants to be around me? Because a lot of people are happy. And they don't want to go into, they don't want to enter that atmosphere that you're at. They like it right where they're at. They'd rather be happy than sad. How many would rather be mad than, how many rather be glad than mad? Because when I'm glad, my heart rejoices and it's good for me. When I'm mad, it's not good for me. When I'm mad, then my soul aches and the Holy Spirit that we get when we trust Christ our Savior, the Holy Spirit grieves. Why it says, grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby you're sealed until the day of redemption, Ephesians 4:30. So I want you to see that the heart knoweth his own bitterness, and a stranger does not intermingle with them. Yes, they don't want to be depressed. And hey, you see that guy coming, he's always bitter and stuff. I got to go, I'll talk to you later. Wonder why they're always running from me, preacher. They don't want none of you to rub on them. Hello? Look with me real quickly to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3 and verse 10. I love this book of Romans. I feel like teaching it again, to be honest with you. Romans 3:10. I'm going to read all the way down to verse 18. I didn't see little Billy tonight. Where was little Billy? Was he down? Oh, he's with the teenager. Okay. Oh, yeah, Bobby's gone. Duh. Okay. Good, I'm glad you told me. I didn't want that to weigh on my mind. Notice verse 10. How many got Romans 3:10? I'm going to go all the way to 18, but watch, look what the Bible says. As it is written, the Word of God's telling you this, not me. There's none righteous, no, not one. How many righteous people do we have in this auditorium right now? None. Zero. Zilch. So none of us are righteous, not one. There's none that understandeth, there's none that seeketh after God. They've all gone out of the way, they all together become unprofitable. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. By the way, the only thing you and I do good, if we do good, is because of Christ. Look at the description it gives of a lost person. But their throat is an open sepulcher. That's a grave. A grave, an old, decayed, smelly, corrupt grave. It says your throat's like that because all the bad stuff comes out of it. Hello? Not talking about when you wake up in the morning and say, hi. Hi, honey. Give me a kiss, honey. Glasses melt. Take three shots of scope and then I'll try to get near you. Or Listerine or something. What verse 13? Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. Poisonous asses under their lips. Whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Isn't it amazing? We can praise God in 1 minute. Go out and we can praise God in the church. Walk out and be cursing him cursing somebody within 5 minutes after we praise him. Boy, folks, we're a basket case. I mean, every one of us are. Their feet are swift to shed blood, destruction, misery on their way, and the way of peace they have not known. Here's why there is no fear of God before their eyes. But I'm going to tell you something. When we get in the flesh, we don't fear God either. I know this is a description of a lost person, but I'm going to tell you, this is a description of any person that doesn't walk with the Lord. I'm talking about a Christian can do evil. A Christian sins. These people say they live sinless perfection. They're lying. They're sinning. Because the Bible says if any says he has no sin, that over in 1 John says the truth is not in him and he's lying, you know. Well, let me show you some scripture here. We have a fallen, depraved nature that we were born with, and we're going to have it continually until the day we die. I teach the book of Romans, and it takes me about 8 to 10 months to teach it. That's with having 2-hour, 3-hour classes during the week. I thank God for Dr. John Burke that taught me the book of Romans. I've had a lot of preachers tell me that even went to other Bible colleges, said they never got the teaching from Romans like they did when we had our institute going. And Dr. Burke was one, I was blessed to be underneath his leadership. Look up here, every person here, you got to understand, and I've taught this over and over, but you can't teach it enough. Every person here, you're born with a fallen nature. The Bible calls it, some of the names, some of the aliases, old man, Mr. Sin, or you call it Mr. The Bible says that we use it Mr. Sin for another name. Old man, carnal mind, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. And so we've got, here comes the storm. I told you I'd get you out at 8 o'clock. Wow. Should I let you out even earlier? Yeah. Well, I wanted to get you home, but okay, I'll still close at 8. I'm just getting through my introduction so I can get to the teaching. But we all have you think I'm kidding you, but I'm not. Those that know Romans know I could take one word and teach 4 hours on one word. I'm not bragging, I'm just saying I love the Word of God that much. It's in there. And we have a fallen nature. Every one of us has a fallen nature. I'm going to tell you right now, unless we reckon ourselves dead to that fallen nature and yield to the Holy Spirit that you get when you trust Christ as your Savior, you're going to walk in the flesh and you're going to do the deeds of the flesh. I'm just telling you that right now. People say, what's wrong with me, preacher? Why am I like this? For instance, your wife's real good to you, but someday you might get up in the wrong side of the bed and you don't feel good and you're ornery and you're angry and you're cantankerous and you yell at your wife. Then you get in the car and go to work and say, man, why did I yell at my wife? I'm a knucklehead. I'm a real idiot. Or why did I do that? Man, she washes all my clothes and takes care of me and feeds me. And I yell about a burnt piece of toast or something. Look up, that's that fallen nature. That's that fallen nature that the Bible says it's enmity against God. Hatred, stronger than hatred. Not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. We have a fallen nature, that Mr. Sin, that old man, that carnal mind, that fleshly mind, it hates God. And it does not want to do anything that would bring glory to God. And by the way, it never will. You can't tame the flesh with the flesh itself. You've got to walk in the Spirit of God. If you don't walk in the Spirit, then you're going to walk in the flesh. And if you walk in the flesh, you're going to fulfill the lust of the flesh. And that's how you, ladies, that's how come sometimes he yells at you or doesn't tell you something, because he's walking in the flesh. And men, that's why sometimes your wife gets irritated at you even though you didn't do nothing, because she's walking in the flesh. Most of the time, though, we have done something. Most of the time, not always. But usually, Jack, when she smacks you upside your head, you needed it. Probably needed one from your mom, too. Look at Rome. I'll do this and I'll stop. Man, I got a whole page here. I had some good stuff tonight. Look at Romans chapter 7. Look what the apostle Paul said. He knew about this fallen nature. He knew about it, man. Look at Romans chapter 7, verse 14. How many got Romans 7? How many got verse 14? For we know that the law is spiritual. We know the law, yeah, that's the law of Christ. But I am carnal, fleshly, worldly, sowed under sin. For look what he says, because you and I are just like this. It's going to sound like he's hodgepodging, but he's not. How many have ever done something? Man, I can't believe how many have ever done something? I can't believe I did that. Did I really say that? Did I just think that? How many are with me? How many, is anybody home tonight? Am I reaching anybody? Look what it says. Look what the Apostle Paul said, verse 15. For that which I do, things I want to do, Billy, I allow not. I don't do it. For what I would that I do not, do I not? The things I want to do, I don't. The things I don't want to do, I do. But what I hate, that I do. This guy's having a, he acts like he's a basket case. We're all like that. If then I do that which I would not, verse 16, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now, then it's no more I that do it, watch, but sin that dwelleth in me. Every one of you are born with a fallen nature. Romans 5:12 says, wherefore is by one man sin into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. Every one of us got that Mr. Sin. We're born. That pretty little baby, that great, beautiful little child you got, that when your grandson or your grandchild, they're perfect, but I'll tell you, they're born with sin. Because their mommy was a sinner. And their daddy was too, and so was their grandma and grandpa, and great-grandpa and grandma, all the way to Adam. Now, verse 17, now then it's no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that's in me. Look at it. You lose your temper, yell and scream. Come here with me. Get mad at the Cleveland Indians. You're going to get mad. We lose our flesh a lot, them, don't we, the Browns? I'll tell you, being a Christian here, it's a real trial to follow this Cleveland bunch here. And amen, amen, amen. For I know, a lot of us are Pittsburgh people here, and Yankees. For I know that in me, look at verse 18, Paul says, that in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. The things I want to do, I don't. And the things I don't want to do, I do. This is Apostle Paul. Now if I do that, would I not? It's no more than I to do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Look at verse 21. I find then a law that when I do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. How many see that? The inward man. It's talking about the Holy Spirit. You get that right? You get that the moment you're saved. I'm going to do this and we're going to close. Come here, Rich. Preacher, come on ahead. Coolidge, come on up. Eddie, come on up here. Pastor, you stay right in the middle. Come on up here. Okay, here's Brother Rich. Pastor Meyer's a good guy. He didn't give me $5 to say that either. He gave me 10. No, I'm just kidding. Kidding. He's a good man. His wife's a tremendous. I'm glad the Lord brought him to our church. But as good as those two are, did you know what? They got the same thing you and I got. They were born with that fallen nature. And so what happened, when he was born, he got the fallen nature. This guy right here, grab his arm. He's got the fallen nature that he was born with from Daddy Adam. When he was born again, he got another nature from the Lord. Okay, now watch. 1 Corinthians 12:13 says this, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we Jews or Gentiles, bond or free, and have all been made to drink in the one Spirit. That's not talking about water baptism. That's talking about the spiritual baptism. The moment you trusted Christ, the very moment this preacher trusted Christ as Savior, pow! The Holy Spirit came in and sealed him until the day of redemption. So now, he was born with this guy. He was born with this guy. He's born again with this one. So he's got a nature from birth, and then he got a nature from the new birth. How many are still with me? Now, he's going to have this old nature as long as he lives. He's going to have this guy all the time. So like, for instance, if Rich goes to the bank, cashes a check, and it was for $100, but they gave him $300 back. Okay? And he don't even count it. Chris is out in the car waiting for me. So he didn't go through the drive-thru, too many cars to wait for her. No, I hate waiting. And so we just went through, run in there and get in and go. And he puts it, they put it in an envelope. He got in the car and make sure they gave him his money, $100. And man, there's $300 in there. Man, that fallen nature is going to say, man, God's blessing you, preacher. You're going to give that to me. That's right, exactly. He's going to be tugging at him. Take that money. Chris is saying, whoa, I don't know. It might be a blessing. But God's going to say, no, no. This is, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know, preacher. I don't know if we should do this. And the Holy Spirit's saying, no, no. You're a child of God. You got to give that money back. You got to get. He's going to say, no, God's blessing you. Take it, take it. And you've got this fallen nature in you. It is. It is. And you've got this fallen nature in you. And whichever one you yield to, that's what you're going to produce. And it's unbelievable. Even, you know, he'll say, take that money and put it in missions. Take that money, put it in that new church over in Medina. Help that new work out. God's blessing you. But God don't work that way. And the Holy Spirit will say, no, 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 you can't do that. But look up here. Every day of our life, 24 hours a day, we've got this. Tonight, that tugged you to go to church or not. How many are with me? You're going to be at this. There's going to be times you're going to want to yell at somebody. And the Holy Spirit's going to say, no, 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 don't yell. And Phyllis is going to say, yeah, I'm going to kill you. Do you know what I'm talking about, Lizzie?
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to kill you. That's the flesh. That's the flesh. That's the flesh, too. But I'm serious. We're challenged all the day long, every day. Unless we walk in the Spirit, really, I mean, unless we really try to stay close to God, pray and read our Bible. And the moment it comes up, Richard's got to say, no, I'm going to reckon myself dead. I'm not going to teach tonight, but I can't get time. But the Bible says, for you to get victory over this old man, you reckon yourself dead to him. I reckon myself dead to him. That's what the Bible says in Romans. He's not dead. He's still there. He wants him to take that $300 and put it on a lottery ticket or something. How many are with me? By the way, don't buy lottery tickets. That's the flesh. Hello. Put it in missions. But he's going to say, no, I'm not going to let that fallen spirit. I'm going to yield myself to the Spirit of God. And that's when you get the victory. And Billy, we're challenged all the time. We're challenged every day with our lives, our family. You're a foreman at work. Billy, you're going to be challenged even when you're supervising those men where you work. Do I take this calmly or do I scream at them? Hello? Now, you can speak sternly sometimes with the power of God, but if you're out of control, then the Bible says in Proverbs, I'll get it in just a minute, I think it's 25. He that hath no rule over his own spirit. He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city broken down with no walls. We can either be a city broken down with no walls because we yield to the flesh, or we can be a strong tower city for Christ. That's Proverbs. I think it's 25. I know the verse is 25, I think. I know it's Proverbs. I think they're both in chapter 25. Anyways, I know they're in Proverbs. He that had no rule of his own spirit is like a city broken down with no walls. Years ago, I put scripture in my heart. As you get older and get sick, sometimes you forget some things. But I'm glad I don't have the address right now, but I'm glad I got the scripture in my heart. Amen? So here's what we're going to stop tonight on. Thank you, fellas. What has happened is this. If we yield to the Spirit of God, all that bitterness and grief and anger and strife, a lot of that could be taken away if we'll just learn not to yield to the flesh, but to yield to the Spirit of God. Look up here now. I'll close. I didn't get you out like I said I was. I should have just kept on teaching. I have another whole page there. Most of all our downfalls is because we don't yield to the Spirit of God. The Galatians 5 talks about the fruit of the Spirit and the fruit of the flesh. And you can, in Galatians 5:16, says they're contrary one to another. And just recognize, when you start to get mad, recognize. Who's saying this to me? How many are with me? You start to do something you know you're not supposed to. Who's telling me to do this? Is this God? Is this the Holy Spirit, or is this the flesh? How many are with me yet? And you've got to constantly, by the way, the preacher, I know preacher would take that money. I know pastor would take that money, and he'd say, he'd run right back in that bank and say, hey, I only had you cash a check for him. You gave me $300. Give that, and sometimes they'll actually fight your preacher. Oh no, I didn't make no mistake, because that's their fallen nature. I don't make no mistake. I'm flawless. But it gives you a great, yes, sir. Yes. You're right. I know, because I know some bankers that got in trouble like that. My daughter-in-law used to work in a bank, and there was stuff happening in that bank. And a lot of bankers, because someone's got to pay for that money. See, that fallen nature will say, take that money. That bank's got millions. And what they don't have, the government will give them more. But I'm going to tell you, if Diane would send out, if she would give Dale a $300 on a $100 check, and they knew Diane cashed that check, they'd be coming after Diane. Say, you better sell a lot of eggs this week, because you owe us. You better sell 100 dozen eggs or something, because you owe us some money. And so, it's human nature to say, take that money and run. God's blessing you. Take that money. Use it for something for the Lord. Yeah, and you say, okay, I'll do it. And you'll drive down the street. Then you get a block away with that money in your pocket, and the fallen nature will come and say, forget that. I got something better for you to give it to. Hello? And so we've got a real Nate. Yeah, I have a real bad temper. I have to really be careful. Some of you fellows have got bad tempers. You know what I'm talking about. We have to watch and control because we're quick. Some of us are quick. How many of us? Yes, sir. Me too. You know, if I'd have been Rosie all the 43 years, I'm going on 44 years I've been married, I would have boinked me over my head 1,000 times. But you know what? We all are in that same thing. We were all born with that fallen nature. So, take a check once in a while. Who am I yielding to? Am I yielding to the new man that I got from Christ when I got the Holy Spirit in me? Or am I yielding to the old man, which is corrupt? Amen? All right, let's have a moment of prayer. Pastor Myers, would you lead us in prayer as we go?
Father, I just pray for the pastor. I pray for the people that you would strengthen them. Be with everyone.